Hello, and welcome to the MAN panel. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson, and I'm thrilled that you've chosen to join me for year two of this event that is designed to give you an inside glimpse into the hearts and minds of men. Now, I have gathered a panel of amazing men who are sharing generously from their hearts and minds to help you so that you can have more successful interactions and relationships with men in general, and also with that special man in your life as well. So we have with us today a returning guest, and I'm so happy that he's here with us, and that is Joe Dunn. Welcome, Joe.
Hello, Michelle. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too. So many of you may be familiar with Joe and his work with his partner, Molly Apple. I know Joe and Molly have appeared on my summits previously, but today we're going to go for the masculine side of this equation, represented by Joe Dunn for the MAN panel. So Joe, welcome once again. And before we get started, I would just like to share just a little bit more about you formally, and we'll dive into a juicy discussion. So Joe Dunn is the co-author of two best-selling books on relationships and sexuality, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships, and The Soulmate Lover, A Guide to Passionate and Lasting Love, Sex, and Intimacy. Joe teaches singles and couples the secrets to creating and sustaining relationships that are deeply loving, intensely passionate, and profoundly connected. I love those three things. Deeply loving, intensely passionate, and profoundly connected. It's really kind of the holy trinity of relationship, isn't it?
When you have that, you don't need much else. Yeah,
exactly. That sounds like a pretty happy experience right there.
It is.
Yeah. So, Joe, before we dive into our conversation a little more, would you mind just sharing a little bit with the women on this call, a little bit more about your personal journey, how you came to co-author these two books with Molly, and just kind of how you found your way into this work?
Sure. Before meeting Molly, I would say that I had moderate success in relationships. It wasn't, I wouldn't consider it stellar, but I'd been married for quite a while, and my wife and I at the time had gone to a relationship course, and it was a real eye-opener for me in terms of the way I came into relationships and how I showed up and how I interacted with my partner. And it was this great wake-up call, and the course went on for a few years, you know, regularly, and it was probably the best thing I ever had to teach me about relationships. As time went on, and you know that surge, that rush that you get from a course or even going to classes on a regular basis, you know, tends to taper off. And so I found myself sort of back into the same relationship dynamic that I'd experienced before taking this course. And so everything went sort of dormant for a number of years, and my relationship, you know, at the time continued to sort of disintegrate in a way, and we finally separated. And then I met Molly, and the interesting thing was we met more or less in about a conversation about relationships, and it's something that we've been talking about ever since. For now 15 years, it's been really the thing that keeps us going, is this constant exploration on how to make relationships great. Mm-hmm. And there was, when I met Molly and we started this conversation, there were so many ideas and so many principles that it brought me back to this course I'd taken I think it was the mid-90s, that I was just struck, and all of the stuff came back to me and from the relationship course, and we implemented it in our relationship, and we talk about it, well, daily, as you know, and it's really been a great thing. So my relationship experience in the last 15 years has been phenomenal, just been over the top, you know. Mm-hmm. and I wasn't an expert coming in necessarily, so I think there's a lot of hope for people out there who are looking to have great relationships and who maybe haven't had a lot of education on how to go about it. You know, one of the most important things in our lives, and where do you get a relationship education? You know,
right.
You know, maybe watching your parents or on TV, you know, which are generally not very good representations. You know, and from our friends who oftentimes don't have great relationships. So there isn't a great model out there for people to study, you know, about relationships. So we hope to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like we expect that we're going to just download all of this relationship knowledge by osmosis, almost like learning another language by just hoping.
It's just going to show up when we need it, right?
Right. And yet so many of us feel like we should know it and kind of beat ourselves up when we find that there are blind spots or areas that we're not skilled in our relationships.
And that's really one thing we shouldn't do. We shouldn't beat ourselves up because, you know, if you really think about it, we have not had an adequate upbringing and training in great relationships. So we typically stick with what we see and what we have modeled for us. And, you know, so really we shouldn't beat ourselves up. We should take that energy that we're, you know, instead of beating ourselves up and, you know, dive into how can we have great relationships? Because it's definitely possible. If Molly and I can do it, anybody can do it.
Right. Well, another thing I really appreciate about you sharing your story, Joe, is that it sounds like you learned from your previous marriage relationship, and there was some growth that took place there, both in the context of this course, but I'm sure in the classroom of the relationship itself.
Absolutely.
I think this is actually something really important to remember along these lines, is that every experience that we have can be part of our learning and our growth experience, which is another reason not to beat ourselves up. And it's another reason to have hope, because now you have a wonderful, satisfying, loving relationship with Molly. And so you've made it kind of through that maze. It can feel like a maze. And I'm saying,
yeah.
I know so many women who are listening might feel like they're in the middle of that maze.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Very true.
Yeah. So this concept, the first book that you and Molly wrote, I believe, is The Soulmate Experience, right?
Correct, yes.
So I want to get your thoughts, Joe, on this idea of soulmates, right? Because there's a lot of different schools of thought around soulmates, whether soulmates exist, and your book is called The Soulmate Experience. And I just wonder if you could expand a little bit and share some of your thoughts on that.
Sure, sure. It's called the soulmate experience for a reason. And that is that, at least our belief is that you can have a soulmate quality relationship with almost anybody, right? If you strip away all the stuff, that type of relationship is possible. You know, it's the one that we're most often looking for is that love relationship, but you can have soulmate quality relationships with family, with close friends. And we believe that it's not just one other person out there that is your soulmate. And that's why we call it the soulmate experience, because it's an experience that you can have with somebody. It doesn't mean it's the only experience you're going to have. And it doesn't mean that that's the only person out there that you can have it with. And so it's our belief that, you know, once you start developing the tools to have these great relationships, you'll feel like you have multiple soulmate relationships. You may have one at the very top that you say, this is the one that's my love interest, but that quality of relationship doesn't just hold true for that love interest. You know, you have that quality of relationship with family and with friends as well.
Yeah. So how would you define, if you're saying we can have soulmate relationships with other people besides the chief love interest in our life, and that we can have more than one soulmate experience, how would you define that soulmate experience? Just because this may be a new concept to a lot of people listening here, that we can experience multiple soulmates in all different kinds of relationships.
I think probably the easiest way to get there is to cultivate both acceptance, because acceptance of your partner and acceptance of yourself is so important, right? If we're rejecting ourselves or we're rejecting our partners for any reason, it's going to be very difficult to have a soulmate experience. So, you know, one of the most important things I think is we have to look at acceptance. You know, and the other thing that's very important is to look at our roles in relationships. It's the hardest thing to do because we always want to point the picture at the other person. But
right.
As I found out, you know, when I went to this course so many years ago, I was really contributing a lot more than I thought I was to, you know, a less than stellar relationship. And so once I, you know, swallowed hard and said, okay, I see what I'm doing here and I'm changing those things, you know, that to me was probably the biggest shift in my relationship. And it came about, first of all, this is why I know it's not just with a love interest. It came about, first of all, with my son when he was about 7 years old.
Mm.
And it was just a quick story. It was, I realized in this course, I had a lot of expectations about the people in my life, my partner, my kids, my coworkers. And I realized that those expectations were really preventing me from having a great relationship. And my son, especially, I got it loud and clear. I had this belief that when I talked to my son, he should respond because he's my son and that's just what you're supposed to do. And the more I would sort of impose that on him, the more he would shut down and pull away from me. And after going to this course and getting this in an hour, I came home that night and I wrote him a note and I said, I no longer hold it that you should respond to me when I talk to you. And I apologize and I'm done with that. And here he is at 7 years old. The next morning at breakfast after he got the note, I couldn't shut the kid up. He was just so, you know, I'd sort of freed him from this restriction that I'd held on him. And so that was what told me that you know, expectations that I held in a relationship of any type, you know, were what was causing it in a lot of cases to not flourish. Mm-hmm. And so letting go of those expectations was, you know, one of the biggest things for me to create multiple soulmate relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's part of the acceptance piece that you're talking about, is letting go of what might be these preconceived expectations, which can be quite insidious because sometimes we don't even really on a logical level or on a surface level, even know that they're there. Right?
Sure, because you know they might be there from something we picked up years ago, and we might not even be aware of it. So you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You know that mm-hmm. stuff can really run us that we're not looking at.
Yeah, it can. So would you say if in a situation with interacting with someone, whether it be in a dating situation or like you gave the example of your son, would you say that if something is feeling triggering to us, that one of the things to look at might be to look at what the expectation is underneath that?
Absolutely. I think that's probably the best thing to do because mm-hmm. there almost always is one, right? If we're upset or triggered by something, you know, we've got to go down and figure out what that is. And is it really valid? Mm-hmm. You know, or am I dragging something from my past that really isn't serving me now?
Yeah.
So we really got to dig deep sometimes and try to find out what it is that's causing that upset.
Share just a really brief little example of this. That's an imperfect example in my own life. After my husband and I got married, we both had homes and we used to joke and say we would wait till one got dirty and then move to the other one for a while. We ultimately ended up selling them both and buying another house together. But at one point, one of the houses was just kind of cluttery and dirty, and it just needed an overall cleaning. Well, I got this bee in my bonnet one Saturday morning and just started cleaning like a dynamo. I was like this woman on fire. And my expectation was that when my husband saw me doing this, he would clue into, wow, she really needs to get this house cleaned right away because she's not feeling happy here. And I should join in and start cleaning just like she is. Well, he didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
He just didn't know what to do. So he was just getting out of my way. I was like this woman on fire. Well, I was getting madder and madder and madder as the day went on. And I started to, you know, I was cleaning like a dynamo, and and I was getting a lot done because I had all this
Fuhrer inside, right?
Inside this energy. And it wasn't until I finally got my cool and calmed down, I thought, wow, that was really, really something, because I had this expectation. He didn't fall into line with this expectation. He didn't even know what the expectation was. He just thought, I got to get out of her way.
Right. You illustrated my point very well. I mean, that's, you know, if we could get one thing in relationship, it's that, you know, the more expectations you hold, the less satisfied you're probably going to be.
Mm-hmm. So on the other side of that, maybe there are some women hearing this and saying, well, I want to have some expectations. I want to have some hope of what I'm going to get and receive and also give in a relationship. How do we balance that? It's kind of tricky.
Well, it is tricky, but I think that, you know, it's a difference between desire, looking at it as a desire. I'd love to have this in my life. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, there may be some disappointment if you don't get it, but if you have an expectation and it isn't met, there is definitely going to be disappointment, right? So trying to change that expectation and move it into a desire, like, yeah, I'd really like to have this in my life, and I'm going to try to create my life so that I can have this. And I think that's different than looking at every guy going, well, I have these expectations that you should be this way, mm-hmm. you know? And if you have expectations that the person you're maybe starting to date is a certain way, then inspire them to make positive changes, right? Mm-hmm. That's maybe by using invitation instead of expectation. Because when you come up to a potential partner or somebody you're starting a relationship with and you pepper them with expectations, the only thing you're going to get is resistance mm-hmm. and upset back.
Yes, I love
so
that.
If you can shift.
Go ahead.
Can shift that expectation into an invitation or inspiring your partner to get what you want, what you'd like to see happen, that's a much better way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that distinction between an expectation and a desire, because we all have desires, we all have wants, we all even have needs, but we can express those in ways that don't come across as a demand or as an expectation, right? Well, that really, really helped. That was really, really helpful. So I know for many of the women that are listening, I want to shift gears just a little bit, Joe. Many of them may have, like yourself and like many other people, been through a divorce or another relationship or relationships that have been painful or disappointing on some level or have ended in ways that feel unresolved. And in other words, some of us have picked up some baggage along the way that we might be carrying around with us. And it can create a lot of different blocks to having the love that really we deeply desire. It can create fear. It can create walls that we've built without even realizing it. It can create a lot of barriers. And so one of these barriers too can be, first of all, what would you say about that? What would be your recommendations for those that have maybe some raw, open heart wounds that they're feeling right now? And they might be listening to this event saying, I don't even know if this whole soulmate experience is possible for me anywhere in my life. Right?
I could see that, but I would still urge all your viewers and your listeners to not base their future relationships on the experiences they've had in the past, mm-hmm. right? We evolve, we learn. Sometimes we get into relationships that aren't working for us and we figure out how to get out of them and move on. And what's important is we don't take all that negative stuff that's accumulated and drag it into our next relationship and dump it at the feet of our future partner, right? That never works. Right. So it's important, I think, to work through your baggage. You know, we all have stuff we bring to a relationship. It just can't be helped, I think. But the majority of it, you can identify and you can work to let go of just by understanding that, hey, this is a totally new relationship. That stuff that happened, you know, this is a new person. That doesn't have to happen here. And maybe take steps to ensure that it doesn't happen here, right? Don't go and you know, repeat the same relationship patterns and expect to get a better result if it hasn't been working for you till now.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. It's good to remember that we're all evolving and growing. And I think also it can be really helpful to remember that we each deserve our own self-compassion. That may be part of the acceptance piece that you were talking about. And just as though we may have felt the need to forgive other people from our past for whatever real or perceived things that they've done or shown or have or haven't shown up for us, I think it's also really important for us to be able to forgive ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
For those real or perceived mistakes, right?
Right. And I think that, first of all, to your point, I think it's so often it's perceived, right? Mm-hmm. That you know, we make judgment calls on how other people are acting. It may not have anything to do with what they did or what they were thinking, or they may have something, you know, going on that we don't even know about that is causing their response. And so I think that's super important that, you know, we're mindful of that.
Yeah. So now I want to ask you, because there are a lot of women that are 40 and above here on the event, and some of them may feel like, gee, I wish I looked like I did when I was in my 20s or 30s, or they might have a perception that men only want women that are younger. You know, we might have women up into their 50s, 60s, 70s beyond here. And I know that you and Molly believe that a woman, because we're talking to women here, can be sexy and can feel some of that sexual energy and femininity no matter what age she is. So from a male perspective, can you speak to that? Because I want the ladies to hear this message loud and clear, not just from me, but from you as a man.
Well, you know, we do have a chapter in our book called Sexy is a State of Mind. Mm-hmm. And because it's true, right? I mean, you can exude this glow of sexuality and of sexiness by changing your self-image. And it doesn't matter what age you are. And while it's true that there are many men who are looking for younger women, there are also many men whose age is not a factor. I'm one of them, mm-hmm. right? I have seen women who are 20 years my senior. I find them very attractive because they still have that life inside of them. And that life transcends age any day of the week. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, women have to realize that, A, they can be sexy at any age, because it really is a state of mind. It's a state of mind. It is not what the media tells us, our friends tell us, any of that. It is, how do we feel? Do we feel sexy? And can we, you know, tune into that feeling and carry it with us and do things that continue to make us feel sexy by how we dress, by, you know, maybe if we take up dance. There's so many things that we can do to continue to feel sexy that it's really no excuse for a woman to say, oh, I don't feel sexy. That means she's just getting lazy, mm-hmm. right? Because I think that if she weren't, she would work on ways to get to feeling sexy if that's what she felt she was missing. It's definitely possible at any age. And the other thing I think we have to remember is that, you know, so many guys don't care about age, and they are not nearly as picky about women as women are of themselves. Right? Women are constantly comparing themselves to other women, and they're afraid they don't meet up. They're concerned about, you know, they've got a few extra pounds, or they've got a few wrinkles. Trust me, most guys, that's not what they notice. You know, Molly, the other day, I've been with her 15 years, and she pointed out, like a sun mark, right? That up high on her chest, and said, oh, I see this mark, and oh, you know, I'm whatever she was saying about it. And I looked and I said, I have never noticed that on you in 15 years. And it was the size of a, you know, a pencil or a eraser. It was not small. And yet until she pointed it out, I'd never noticed it, because I see the whole picture, right? I see this beautiful woman. I don't see this one spot that she sees on her chest and has to make an issue of. So I think that's really important to remember, is that we are often our own worst critic, mm-hmm. you know, and guys are much more forgiving than I think we think that they are, or that women think they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a good reminder for the women listening that we don't need to be pointing out our perceived flaws that we're dating or interacting with. Right?
No, because chances are you're the only one that notices that flaw. Right. So as soon as you point it out to your partner, now you've got them noticing it and maybe they're going to focus in on it. So, no, I would say it's not a good idea to point out your perceived flaws.
Yeah.
Not unless you want, you know, support for them.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. So this is an invitation for the women here to see their own beauty and to see their own magnificence.
And beauty is individual. Right? Mm-hmm. We got to get away from this idea that beauty is this limited thing defined by society or media or movies. It is not. You know, take any woman, you could find beauty in her, right? She could find beauty in herself. And so it's really important that we broaden our range of what's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, because beauty over time, the ideal of beauty changes and is different in different cultures and in different time periods. I can remember seeing some of the paintings like in Italy of the nudes, and these women were very, very like what we would say chubby or fat, right?
Voluptuous, yeah. Right? Yeah.
And that was their ideal. You know, they were painting what they thought was the ideal female form at right. that time.
Absolutely.
So it's just kind of interesting, right?
And men today, I think, are oftentimes very interested in that same shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this idea of what society tells us is the perfection and that we have to be, it can hold us back from experience, passion, intimacy, and love.
It's very limiting and it's very demoralizing. Mm-hmm. Right, to take on that belief that society knows better than I do what sexy is, what attractive is.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know, just to shift gears a little bit more before we begin to wind up, I know that you and Molly teach a course on jealousy. And I think this is a topic that kind of is related to some of the things that we've been talking about, because I think part of jealousy comes in when we are comparing ourselves unfavorably to someone else. It can be as simple as the guy that we're with or dating noticing another woman. And we feel like this twinge of jealousy because we think, oh, she's younger than me, or, oh, she's thinner than me, or whatever. She has longer eyelashes than me. I mean, whatever. It can be anything.
Right.
So
right.
I'd love for you to speak to some of your just briefly speak to some of your insights on jealousy and some of the things that you teach on that. I know we can not get your whole course right now, but something the women can check out if it's a topic they're dealing with.
Well, it's such a huge topic that, you know, we devoted a whole chapter of it in our first book. Mm-hmm. And then we heard so much from people that we made a video course out of it, how to overcome jealousy. And it's been quite popular and it's actually been quite successful, you know, and it requires, you know, really doing some self-analysis, like where is my jealousy coming from? What are the messages that I continue to tell myself, you know, that keep me small and keep me unattractive and keep me demoralized, you know, and how can I go through the process to improve those? You know, jealousy is a huge, huge, stumbling block for some people. And, you know, it can be debilitating if it gets really bad. And it's all stems from, almost all it stems from is what we tell ourselves inside. And so, you know, we take people through the steps of what are you telling yourself? How do we give you another message to tell yourself that's positive, one that you can believe in, but that is also much more positive than the one you keep telling yourself to you know, conjure up this jealousy. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to get through, but with some effort and we, you know, with some serious self-inquiry, it's certainly possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now going to your, your comment about, you know, how jealousy comes about, and you can be walking down the street and your partner, your boyfriend looks at somebody else and all of a sudden that starts, you know, we take a different approach than most. Our approach is that as we get older, as we are in relationship, we do not continue to find the opposite sex unattractive.
Right.
We don't stop finding them attractive as we get in a relationship.
Right.
You know, and I think what we've seen is that you wouldn't want that to be the case.
Right.
Right? There's something that there's life energy that flows when you look over and you see somebody attractive.
Right.
Now, if your partner notices that and she really comes down hard on you, it doesn't mean that you're not going to do it. It just means that you're going to take it underground, right? So you're going to try to be more subtle about it, and you're going to be looking when she's not looking and things like that. And it's not going to necessarily help your relationship by doing that. In fact, it might even, you know, stir up a little resentment. Like, hey, I'm just a guy, right? I mean, guys are guys, women are women. We find the opposite sex attractive typically, and we don't put blinders on just because we're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that as difficult as it might be, is to you know, change that perception of he's looking at her, so it's a bad thing, right? He's looking at her because he's a guy and he finds women attractive. Right. And if you can just acknowledge and accept that, and maybe even join in with him mm-hmm. by saying, wow, she's really cute, then there will be no reason for, you know, any resentment. And he'll feel like, wow, this is a great place to be. I'm with this person who accepts the fact that I'm still a guy, I'm still male, I'm still, you know, interested in looking at attractive women. And what we've found, just in our own experience by working with this, because it's not like I didn't have jealousy and it's not like Molly didn't have jealousy, mm-hmm. but by working through this, it's like, I am so much more in love with Molly because she is totally okay if I find a woman attractive. And just the fact that she accepts that's what I think and that she's okay with that, It totally takes away the desire to go make something happen with this other person, and it makes me much more attracted to Molly as a result. Mm-hmm. So it's again, you know, some people have a hard time wrapping their head around this idea that it's okay for my partner to find other people attractive. But my experience has been, and our experience with other people have been, is that if you can accept that, and if you cannot make it a big deal, your relationship has a great chance to improve as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's incorporating that life energy, that sexual energy right back into the relationship that you have, right? And if your partner says, well, you can't have that, you're never going to bring that into your relationship, right? Whatever goes on, it's going to be hopefully when your partner isn't seeing it, but you're still going to look at these women and you'll still have some sort of energy there, right? Much better, in our opinion, is to bring that energy back into the relationship. Use it to charge up your own relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it contributes to the trust and the connection, and it doesn't force someone to go underground, which then creates like a barrier to intimacy.
Right, a separation, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, here's one thing I can't show about me that's, you know, like I can't be honest about myself, mm-hmm. right? Because I've tried and it was rejected and I'm a bad guy for this. So I'm going to take it underground and we'll keep it separate. You know, one more thing we're not connected on.
Right.
So, and that's unfortunate because, you know, if we're honest with each other, we're gonna go, look, we don't just stop finding people attractive because we're in a relationship. So let's acknowledge that we still do. And let's incorporate that energy into our relationship so that we can use it for positive things. And that's what we've been doing for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I really
enjoy you and Molly and enjoy seeing you together and really appreciate the example of the relationship that you have and how open and transparent you are in sharing because I know you're helping a lot of people out there, Joe. So I just want to acknowledge you for that.
Well, thanks, Michelle. And that is our goal. I mean, it was, you know, when we wrote our first book and somebody wrote and said, oh, this helped change my relationship. It's like, that was enough for us to, you know, it's like, okay, this book is a success. Now how can we get it out there and let other people, you know, have the same experience? So thank you. And that's really our life's purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I interviewed you and Molly for my last summit, just watching the two of you together just kind of gave me the goosebumps. I just love watching you interact. So,
and you know, it's even more that way today. It doesn't diminish as time goes on. And that's what the great thing is about our relationship is. And I can't imagine it getting going downhill. I really can't. This is like beyond the realm of conceivable to me.
Yeah, well, the two of you have created something really amazing and really beautiful together. And so we're so happy to have you share more of your work. And of that, that's a perfect segue into us sharing your free gift here, which is, I know we've just barely touched on the tip of the iceberg of some of the things you have to share. And this video course is a 5-session video course. A sexual energy video course. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about it, Joe?
Sure. It's called Amplify Your Sexual Energy. And basically, you know, there are a couple things in it that I think are really important. And one is there are ways to, you know, release any blocks that you might have to sexuality, right? And I mean, we've all got stuff around sexuality, right? If the way we were raised, typically, our experiences all, you know, have come together to accumulate a lot of baggage and a lot of stuff around sexuality for many, many people. And so I think that, you know, one of the things to do one of the important things is to look at where do we hold shame around sexuality, mm-hmm. right? And where does that come from? Is it valid? Do I really need to hold on to it? You know, and that's even not so much shame about things that have happened, but shame that we might feel about things that we want to happen. Mm-hmm. Right, in terms of the sexual arena. So, you know, that's a very important, I think, topic in there is how to, you know, to identify what those things that you feel are shameful and how to release them. So those are a couple of things that we go through in the video course that I think are quite helpful.
Thank you, Joe. And I just want to let everyone know that to access this video course, you just click on the link below this video or audio that you're watching or listening from, and it will be available throughout the rest of the event, but make sure you get it now because I know you will want to stay connected with Joe and Molly. And Joe, I want to give you a chance before we wrap up also just to leave us with just a little last parting thought, if you would.
Okay, I think, you know, when it comes to relationship, it's what I've come to find is that it's not that difficult to have a great relationship. I think we have to oftentimes get out of our own way, right? We have to do some soul searching and figure out what are we doing to contribute to, you know, some of the not so great relationships that we've had, and how can we shift that into something in the future? It's not like, you know, I've had lousy relationships and I'm stuck having lousy relationships forevermore. It's not that way at all. So I think that there's definitely hope for all of your listeners and viewers. And it might require changing the way you've done relationship, you know, in the past, and really looking at, you know, what you contribute to relationship and how you might improve on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good way to wrap up. And I want to thank you so much again for being here and for sharing so generously.
Well, thanks for having me, Michelle. It's always fun to be with you.
Thank you. And for those of you that are here, we also want to thank you for your presence as well, and hope that you will join us for more of the Man Panel. And be sure to check out the VIP package, which includes all of the audio and video interviews, as well as some really juicy bonuses. Just scroll down on this page or go to themanpanel.com/VIP. Thank you for being with us, and bye-bye for now.